former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a Sunday edition of the Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM, alongside Michael Lombardi out on the East Coast in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, holding it down at our VSiN studio in Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. This place has been popping the last few days, weeks, when it comes to the NBA and NHL finals. Michael Lombardi, the Golden Knights and Denver Nuggets, both one game away from the first titles in franchise history for both of those organizations. Pretty dang cool.
Yeah, really cool, especially consider that the Vegas Knights have only been in existence for 5 years.
Long history.
Denver goes back to the ABA. I think they have won an ABA title, but not an NBA title. So, you know, they've always had great players in Denver, and this could be their moment. And as we watch the series unfold, I think it's true. You know, in seven-game series, the better team eventually imposes their will, and I think we're seeing that in both series.
Yeah, we'll have our guy Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA handicapper here at VSiN, on the show tomorrow. He usually joins us on a Sunday, but with the potential final game coming up tomorrow, we want to make sure we get his full breakdown then. Were you surprised at all, by the way, to see Denver a 9-point favorite again at home in this spot with Miami backs against the wall? We know that they're this cockroach, never gonna die type of a team.
Yeah.
I said I feel like the series is over, but 8.5, 9 points sitting in that number again is always
a little questionable, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and even the other game that that Denver covered, you know, there was a moment where you thought for sure Miami was going to cover that 9.5 spread, but you know, Denver made the plays in the fourth quarter in the last game. Bruce Brown was sensational. He had 11 points in the fourth quarter. Miami makes only 8 3-pointers the entire game. So, yeah, I do think it's a little bit. They haven't scored 100 points in any game so far this year, Stormy, against Denver. So, and Denver has kind of owned them. And if you go back to game two, it took a Herculean effort for Miami to win that game. And I'm not sure they can duplicate that. I think this will be another close game. Jokic didn't play good. Now, where is his ankle? I think that's the key. Is he better? How does he feel? I thought he looked sluggish and tired in the game last game, you know, and they still were able to win. Not that he played poorly, by no means, because he is the best player in the league by a lot. And so, but I do think that he was tired, and this three-day rest, I think, will energize him, and they seem to have the will. I mean, every comment that I read from him is all about team. It's all about imposing their will and doing what they have to do to play well. I mean, Murray had 12 assists in the last game, only 17 points. I mean, think about this. They beat Miami with Murray and Jokic not playing, not scoring, let's say that, to the level that they're typically used to.
Yeah, and it's something that I don't know if maybe it's just because I didn't watch like enough day in, day out NBA regular season basketball to know, but I feel like a lot of the talk about the Denver Nuggets coming into the postseason was a knock on their depth. And their depth has been what I think has really helped make the difference when you compare them and the Miami Heat in this series. That, yes, they have the star power with Jamal Murray and Jokic, but they have different guys stepping up and making an impact, like especially what we saw last game specifically. So we'll see how things do play out there, Michael.
I think Malone handled that. I mean, he talked about that in his press conference after the game. I mean, think about this now. When Jokic picked up that fifth foul, you know, everybody in the stadium was nervous, right? But it has been, and he had foul trouble in the Lakers series, but this bench has responded. And that next 5 minutes when he was sitting next to Malone, they played their best basketball. So credit their depth. I agree, Stormy.
Like I said, we'll talk more about this game a little bit tomorrow. We'll also have Thomas Gable on the show, which he's usually on a Sunday as well, but it is his son's birthday, so giving him some well-deserved family time. Coming up here in just a little bit, we'll have Vikings radio analyst Ben Lieber join us, break down all things Dalvin Cook and outlook for the Vikings. But I want to talk some quarterbacks with you here, Michael, and I'm going to give you some prop options. We're going to break it down in a few different categories, but as DraftKings is opening up different markets, I feel like every single day we have passing yards props available now for some of these quarterbacks. So let's get into it. Your first category here is going to be former MVPs. So Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Lamar Jackson. Let's look at these numbers. You can only bet one of these guys over. Patrick Mahomes sitting at 4,800 and a half. Aaron Rodgers, 4,050 and a half. Lamar Jackson, 3,625.5. You can only choose one.
Well, Lamar, today we listened to Todd Monken talked about how they are going to throw the ball more. And they are going to rely on the passing game more than the running game when they had Greg Roman calling the runs. So my instincts would be to take Lamar Jackson here, although 3,600 yards for Lamar Jackson seems like a lot. But I do think if they're going to improve offensively, they've got to throw the ball. They've got to make big plays in the passing game. And Lamar seems to be on course for that. So my instincts are take Lamar. I lean towards Aaron Rodgers because I think he will throw the ball quite a bit. I think in that offense, he will make a lot of plays. But on the surface, I'll take Lamar. What about you?
You're so funny. The one I was going to take was the one you didn't mention in Patrick Mahomes. So Jackson, the reason that I find it hard to get on board with, even with Todd Monken putting an emphasis on Lamar Jackson passing the ball more, is just that even like in his best season passing that he's had, he just went over around 3,100 yards roughly. And that was his MVP 2019 season. So that just seems like a big jump, especially knowing that he's only played 12 games in each of the last two seasons, if there's potential for maybe the injury bug to sneak in again a little bit. So that was the one that I wanted to avoid, to be honest with you. But with Patrick Mahomes, gone over this number back-to-back seasons, the expectation last year was for maybe the passing yards to take a slight step back without Tyreek Hill, and he ends up having a career high. So yeah, I feel like Mahomes can do it again.
You know, and they throw it. But here's the thing, and one thing about Andy Reid, one thing about this pick for you is even when they're ahead, they throw it. You know, most people take the air out with their run game. Andy Reid's four-minute offense at the end of games isn't always about running the football. So that allows him to make more plays. He trusts Mahomes with the football at the most critical time. So, yeah, but, you know, one of the things you always worry about with a team that throws it as much as them is will they back off a little bit at certain points? And I think ultimately that could. Look, they've been very fortunate. They have not had injuries. Mm-hmm. I know Mahomes got hurt in the playoffs, but they have been, especially if they don't have Kelce for 17 games, it'd be hard for him to get to this number.
Yeah, I think Rodgers is reasonable too there at the even money price. Last year, we know for a season that he played 15 or more games, that was his lowest passing output of his career, period. So you feel like he's going to get back into form, especially with some of the young talent that they have on the offensive side of the ball there in New York. How about new places now? We're going to change the category here. And I mean, this should have been rookies plus Derek Carr, really, if we were, you know, truthful to what this name of the segment is. But new places. We got the Saints, Derek Carr to go over, or any of these rookies, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, and Anthony Richardson to go over their number. Richardson, the lowest by far, not knowing whether or not he's going to be a day one starter, 2,600.5 yards.
Yeah, I think Richardson must be plus 115, right? Not minus 105, right? I can't imagine he's...
That's what we have right now, minus 115.
Wow. Wow, to go over. Well, you know, I find it hard to believe just based on his inexperience. I know everybody thinks he's just going to transition into that offense. Took Jalen Hurts a while to transition and offseason into that offense. I think I lean Bryce Young here. I think Carr certainly can go over 3,900. I think that's almost like a gimme, but the minus 110. If you want a good deal, Bryce Young at 3,500. I think Bryce Young can throw the football, and I think Bryce Young will make plays in the passing game. I don't see them having a liability with Bryce Young on the field, so I'll go Bryce Young here.
I like the Young pick, and I was between Bryce Young and Derek Carr, but because you picked Young, I will pick Carr with the New Orleans Saints. Prior to last year where he had, 3,522 yards, prior to that, 4,000-yard seasons in four straight. I feel like with this new offense, maybe a little newfound confidence in a new place and new offense, he'll get over the number again and get back to the type of player that he's capable of. Let's go to fourth-year quarterbacks. Some of these guys with very, very high expectations, mind you. Joe Burrow, his prop sitting at 4,425.5. Justin Herbert, 4,550.5. He had the second most pass yards last year behind only Patrick Mahomes. Tua Tagovailoa, will he be healthy and get 4,000+? Jalen Hurts coming off second in MVP voting last year. Will he get over his prop? Or Jordan Love, first year as the full-time starter in Green Bay, taking over for Aaron Rodgers. Can he exceed expectations? Which fourth-year QB are you taking over?
I'm going to take, and this is going to shock you, I lean towards Herbert here because I think with Kellen Moore joystick, he'll call 1,000 passes. And certainly if they stay healthy, Mike Williams healthy all year, you know, they have a chance. They're going to throw the football, Eckler included. If I took a flyer, it would be Jordan Love. Because if you understand LaFleur and how he operates with their two backs in the backfield, they're not a run team. They're a pass team. He wants to throw the football. And they have some skill players. Now, they're young. You know, they are young, but they can throw the football. And if Love's any good, and if you believe Love can be any good, I think he'll get above this number.
Oh, okay. I like it. We'll see. I kind of lean with you with Justin Herbert. Tua, that was an automatic X out no for me. He's never gone over that number. And with the health stuff, I just can't trust it. It's not worthwhile to me. Where's my Mike White number? That's what I want to see. That was bad. I'm sorry. I take it back. Okay, one more. Super quick. Low expectation quarterbacks. Mac Jones, Daniel Jones, Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, Desmond Ridder. If you had to take one of those guys over, who are you interested in?
It's got to be Daniel Jones. If the Giants are going to be good, it's got to be Daniel Jones or
Mac
Jones.
Low.
It's got to be the Jones brother.
Yep.
Yeah, if they're good teams, they've got to go over those numbers. You know, Ridder. I mean, there's MVP Justin Fields. I mean, I'm sure Femi's all over that. I'm sure he's probably running to the window right now.
Minus 105. He's thinking, what a good deal. but good stuff. Okay, I like that. The Jones brothers, he says, got to go over for their teams to have success. Mac Jones hitting 3,400 and a half, plus 110 the price, and Daniel Jones 3,300 and a half at an even money price. Okay, when we come back. The Minnesota Vikings coming off a 13-4 season in 2022, but is regression coming? Plus, Dalvin Cook released. What are the expectations for Alexander Mattison? We'll discuss it all with Vikings radio analyst, former NFL vet Ben Lieber.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. All you got to do is download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID. Open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni here. One of the biggest news items in the NFL this past week, the Vikings releasing running back Dalvin Cook on Friday. To help us break it down, as well as all things Vikings, excited to welcome into the show Ben Lieber of the Vikings Radio Network, former NFL linebacker, spent nearly a decade in the league, now sharing his expertise as an analyst and sideline reporter for the team, as well as KFAN Sports Radio. Thanks so much for doing this, Ben. I would normally ask, hey, how's your offseason going? But whether you are an active player or not, there is no offseason, is there?
Well, yeah, not really. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys, Stormy. It's fun to be on with you as well. You know, the offseason just never ends in the NFL. You know, I was just at practice, the OTAs the other day, and you know, there's always something to talk about, and there's always some NFL news, and we've had a lot of a lot of Dalvin Cook news lately.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, take us through the mindset. You know, this Dalvin Cook story has not been a secret, Ben. I mean, we've known he's going to get released. I'm shocked that nobody wanted to trade for him, understanding the salary. But what, and when they signed Mattison to this kind of economically friendly deal, that meant the end of Cook. What was their mindset behind that?
Well, it seems like there might be a little bit of a philosophical shift offensively. You know, this offseason, they signed Josh Oliver from the Ravens. You know, a lot of people think that he's the best blocking tight end in the league. They re-signed C.J. Ham, the fullback, which a lot of people didn't think last year when KOC took over that he was really going to fit in the offense, and then he goes out there and proves his worth not only in special teams but in the offense itself. And then you start hearing the news that, you know, they might move on from Dalvin. They re-sign Mattison to a little bit more of a starter salary. And you put it all together, and you add up the fact that they were not really happy with the way the running game went last year. a lot of negative yards, a lot of plays just right at the line of scrimmage, either no net gain or lost yards, really put their offense, the passing offense, in a bind. I think they're going to go big boy ball. You know, I think they just wanted to beef up the blocking schemes. They want to get a little bit more downhill, and I think they're okay with, on first and second down, just getting some positive yardage, which Madison will do. So limit the negative yards, get more positive yards to help out the passing game. I think that's really where the whole thing started.
Do you have an understanding or an idea of where might be the best landing spot for him? Miami has been floated around a lot lately, but what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, Miami's been floated around a lot lately. I think that's the obvious choice, you know, although I don't always think guys going back to play kind of back in their hometown is always the smartest thing to do. Just a lot of distractions, a lot of expectations. And, you know, with that offense, yes, they can be pretty dynamic, but, you know, I think they actually want to be, you know, sort of a passing offense as well. So, you know, how many touches is he going to get down there? You know, Denver has been floated around as well. Although recently, I think according to Pro Football Talk, it sounds like they might be kind of out on the Dalvin Cook sweepstakes, but it makes a lot of sense with George Payton being there. You know, George Payton was the assistant GM under Rick Spielman with the Vikings for a long time. So he has a lot of familiarity. So it sort of makes sense from that standpoint. But, you know, I don't really hear anything else as far as, you know, other teams stepping up. So it seems like Miami is in the driver's seat.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's a really good player. A lot of it's going to come down to financial. Nobody really has a lot of money. You mentioned play big boy ball, right? So we got Kirk Cousins, and we know he voids his contract after this season. And where are they going when he voids this contract? Do you believe they'll re-sign him? Now, once he voids the contract, they're going to carry $28 million of debt. So the gift of Kirk Cousins keeps on giving to the Minnesota Vikings, maybe not so much in playoff wins, but in terms of salary cap losses. Where do they go when he voids?
That's a great question, you know, and along that line, you know, look, I project that Kirk's going to have another great year. You know, he's been showing a lot of improvement in some of the areas of some of his weaknesses, you know, just, you know, pocket awareness, you know, scrambling, you know, being a little bit more of a play creator. He's gotten a lot better with that. And I imagine another year in this offense with Jordan Addison as a wide receiver now, that I think that he's going to have a great year. So what are you going to do with a guy that statistically, and I think in game situations, plays at a really high level? Do you just let him go? And you're also going to be signing Justin Jefferson probably pretty shortly. You know, you have TJ Hawkinson. You're probably going to re-sign, although I think there's some speculation whether they actually give him a long-term contract just based on the salary cap situation. Christian Darrisaw is going to have to be re-signed as a left tackle. So there are other guys that you have to take care of. There's only so much money to go around. And if you sign all those guys offensively, but you don't sign and find the most important spot in football, you put your team really in a big bind. So I don't know what the plan is going to be. My sense is that Kirk, it seems like at least his camp, is saying that, you know, they were looking to take a little bit less money on an extension this year. You know, he's had a lot of leverage throughout his career. And it sounds like maybe, you know, even if he has a good year, he's not going to command this top dollar. He may take a team-friendly deal, especially if the defense turns around and they have a true championship-level team. Then I'm crossing my fingers that they can re-sign him after another big year, and it's not going to kill them with the salary cap.
Here with former NFL linebacker, now closely covering the Vikings on the Vikings radio network, Ben Lieber, at Nacho Lieber on Twitter, which just top tier Twitter name, by the way. Let's stick with that kind of theme, though, of contracts and what's going on with players. How about Danielle Hunter? Why would the Vikings, because there's been so much talk about them potentially moving on from him. Is that a dollars and cents thing, or what's the reasoning? Because you've already done so with Za'Darius Smith. Why Danielle Hunter now as a possibility to be gone?
You know, it could be a dollars and cents thing. It seems like that right now. I mean, he's made almost $72 million with the Vikings, which has been great. But, you know, I have to think, if I put myself in his shoes, are you really putting him in the best situation to succeed? You know, I don't think that the 3-4 was necessarily good for him last year, even though he did have double-digit sacks. But he was very inconsistent. I mean, there was not that constant pressure that we saw to him out of years before. And it sounds like under Brian Flores, it's going to be that sort of hybrid defense as well. So he may be looking at it like, look, guys, this is not the best scheme for me. You know, I need to truly have my hand in the dirt, get a bunch of rushes, set guys up. I don't need to be dropping into coverage. I don't need to be doing all this other disguise stuff. You know, just let me go and be the guy that kind of got me here. So I think there's a little bit of both. Although I think if he gives us Brian Flores' defense a chance, I think he could probably get a few free sacks in there just because, you know, the nature of the philosophy for Flores is just create a whole bunch of, you know, disguises and deception and chaos, and you're going to have some free rushers. And I'm going to guess that Daniil could have, you know, 3 or 4 free sacks this year.
Yeah, let's go. We're a betting network, Ben, and everything's about the over totals this time of the year. Last year, they won 13. I used to say all the time, Kevin O'Connell should go to a casino. He had to be the luckiest guy of all time. I mean, so many times he pulled rabbits out of his hat. If I was Derek Stevens, I wouldn't have let him in circa. But anyway, that being said, what do you think? What is realistically their win total for you in your mind?
I know, I'm kind of with you. It was a super exciting year last year. I mean, so many games that just kind of came down to the fourth quarter and the comeback against what was it, the Bills?
Every game. I mean, it's unbelievable. The Bills can't quarterback sneak it and they lose.
I know. It was incredible. I mean, I can't believe that we had some snow flurries that day. I mean, it was iconic there in Orchard Park, and then the huge, you know, historic comeback against the Colts. I mean, yeah, I don't see them. I don't see them mimicking the same thing as last year. They're playing a first place schedule. It's going to get much tougher. I do think the defense is going to be much better, like I mentioned before, under Flores. So, you know, I would probably, going off of last year, I'd take the under, but I think they're going to be a stronger team and be able to compete at least in the first round of the playoffs.
We're up against it, Ben. But can I talk about your Wildcats briefly, real quick? Is K-State going to run it back in the Big 12?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, you know what? I think Will Howard, he took so many big strides this last year, and I think that that dude is playing with so much confidence and so much moxie. And I think that he could sneakily be, you know, a late first round, maybe second round draft pick if he has another good year. So all that being said, I think my boys can do it.
Awesome stuff. They're going to miss
Ben.
Deuce Vaughn, but they've got their head coach back. They've got their quarterback. I love it, Ben. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Stormy. Thank you, guys.
We will be right back on the Lombardi Line. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get the daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page where you can sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Plus, top VSiN experts leaderboard where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access as well. All you got to do is become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now, just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Thank you to Ben Lieber for joining the program, Chuck Pagano earlier in hour one as well. If you missed anything, make sure you download the Lombardi Line in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. And Michael, as we roll along here talking NFL, I know yesterday you and Femi broke down some of the AFC and where notable tickets are going in the futures market. So today we're going to do a fade or follow edition of the NFC. Were there any yesterday you were particularly passionate about, though, very anti or on board with in the AFC?
You know what's interesting? I thought the AFC, the North, the Steelers getting all the love, the tickets and the money, that I found that interesting. It's a confidence in Mike Tomlin, I think, because last year, you know, they were able to rally. They had more wins than the Cleveland Browns, who I think are a team that has talent. It has to work together. And we talked with Chuck Pagano earlier in the show about the impact of coordinators, and we asked him about Vic Fangio in Miami, and I feel like Jim Schwartz in Cleveland will make a big difference. They get Za'Darius Smith to go along with Myles Garrett. They'll play the wide nine scheme that he runs. They'll use the defensive front. One thing about Schwartz that is always been his mainstay is it's hard to run the football on his front. He's very good at gap control. He's very good at making the offense play one-dimensional, which is pass, which then sets up for his pass rush. So I think that'll make a huge impact. But the Steelers getting this much love, Stormy, surprised me.
Yeah, it's I agree with what you said, though. It's got to be the number mixed with the confidence in Mike Tomlin because, I mean, year in and year out, the consistency in terms of wins that they've had on a yearly basis is pretty, pretty impressive what they've been able to do. So let's start out in the NFC East as we begin tackling each of these divisions. Shocker, everything's coming up Eagles after the Super Bowl appearance last year. And that's despite having two coordinators gone in this spot. They're the favorite in the division at even money. Highest ticket percentage, 48% of tickets, 56% of the handle, and the biggest liability for BetMGM as well when it comes to these futures. In agreement with this one, fade or follow?
Yeah, I think I would fade. I think the Cowboys are a good team. I think that, you know, the Cowboys' inability, you know, 94-95 is the last time they've been in a championship game, you know, and that was with really Jimmy Johnson's team, but Barry Switzer was coaching it. They're good. I mean, they have everything that they need to be an effective team. This is a big year for Mike McCarthy. I think the Eagles are a really good team, too. But one thing about being a defending NFC champion is people study you. There is a sense of, hey, if we're going to get anywhere, we got to beat this team. So that six-back offense that they run so effectively with Jalen Hurts as the leading ball carrier, you know, they're going to see different things play different ways. And the Cowboys have the only team really that has been able to match them with their speed. Washington beat them at home last year for their first loss. So I'm surprised that Dallas isn't getting more love. You know, Giant fans would tell you we're close, yet the tape doesn't tell you when you watch the games between Philadelphia and the Giants that they're close.
Yeah, and I mean, you can tell that the Eagles and Cowboys are close because even in terms of the odds, Eagles sitting there even money, but Dallas plus 190. Then you see the significant drop off because the Giants, despite coming off a playoff season, 8-1 in the division, Commanders 11-1. And this Philadelphia team, I mean, it just seems like they're going to be really good again. And even when you look at their schedule coming into this year, at first you look at the opponent win percentage from a year ago and you're like, ah, this is going to be a really tough schedule. And then you actually look at the opponents and win totals for those opponents this year actually put them 25th in terms of the difficulty of strength of schedule. So not nearly as hard as it might look like in terms of last year's numbers.
Let's take the first six games, right? You got Mac Jones, didn't have a good year. You got Kirk Cousins at home. He doesn't play. You dominated Kirk Cousins at home. You're going to have either Kyle Trask or Baker Mayfield, Sam Howell or Jacoby Brissett. If Matthew Stafford can make it through five games healthy, who knows? And then you've got Aaron Rodgers. So every schedule is not about the team. It's about the quarterback.
Love that perspective. And speaking of the quarterback, before we move on from this division, Jalen Hurts obviously made a huge jump from year two to year three. Is that a progression that you can see continuing for Hurts, or does he level off and maybe take a step back even?
I think he's going to level because I think, to me, the way they run this scheme is predicated on his ability to run. He's another ball carrier in the offense, and you're always concerned that can he stay healthy, and he works hard. His body is in great shape. And he's got good skill players around him with a very good offensive line. But, you know, we saw last year, you know, when he got hit against, I think it was the New Orleans Saints game, you know, that became a problem. And so then he missed two games after that. So I think to me, that's what always worries you. And they don't have a drop back pass game. They don't need one. They scored 204 points in the second quarter. They had over a 10-point lead at halftime by in most games. So they don't need to play from behind. They never do. And so they don't need to really a drop out. Everything's play action with them, which really works well. And he's good in that system. So I think he is what he is right now. If he has to play outside that comfort zone, maybe not to the same level.
Let's go to the NFC North. I'm mad at myself I didn't ask Ben Lieber about this, but the Detroit Lions, the favorite again, despite the Vikings coming off the season that they did have. You talk so much about the luck factor in their 13-4 season, winning all those close games, but everything showing up Lions for the betting public as well here. Fade or follow Detroit in the NFC North?
I'm going to fade them. I like, you know, you're going to be surprised who I like. I like Green Bay. Green Bay's the best defensive team in the division. They're the best defensive team in the division, and they've got Wilkins is a young receiver who's got talent. Dobbs, young receivers, got talent. They draft two tight ends, really good. Can they come through for them? They're a young team. Young teams scare the hell out of me, but they have talent defensively. They're not young defensively. And I think that defense can hang in there. If they can play well in the kicking game and defense, and Jordan Love develops into a reliable player. You know, one thing last year, we saw Aaron Rodgers do something unlike Aaron Rodgers. He threw 12 interceptions. That's not who he is. The fact that the Packers and the Bears are on the same win total, it, to me, is comical. The Packers' defense is good. The Bears, I don't know if there's good in anywhere. So I think they're a sleeper. I really do. Now, opening day, I think they'll have a hard time. I think the beginning of September, I think the Packers will probably start slow because they're so young and they've got a new quarterback. But I think as they develop some maturity, I think they can be like the Steelers last year, surprise some people in the second half of the season.
And I'm sensing a little bit of a theme with the Jordan Love. I guess I could have termed that a little bit better. But with you thinking he's going to go over his passing total as well. So maybe a little bit of a sleeper here for Green Bay. How about in the NFC?
Yeah, he doesn't have to look over. You know, I think the other thing is he doesn't have to look over his shoulder anymore, right? He doesn't have to look and say, well, Rodgers is there. You know, he could kind of – and they – and if LaFleur understands who his team is and develops an offense around what Love does, not what Rodgers did, then I think they can be successful.
In the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints are the favorite now with Derek Carr under center, but the Falcons taking all of the money with the weapons they have on offense. Fade or follow?
I'm fading. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers here.
I like them.
I like their defense. I like their quarterback. He's already become the starter. You know, that didn't take long, did it? I mean, Andy Dalton was supposed to be the starter. Look, I think, again, I am all about quarterbacking. Is Desmond Ridder going to be the guy? Maybe, but I watched all four games that he played. I didn't see him being able. He's got to take a huge step forward. You know, he had two touchdown passes in four games. Didn't throw an interception. He was overly careful with the football. I don't like the Bucs, but I like the Panthers. And I think with Miles Sanders in the backfield, a really good offensive line, a very smart quarterback who's got dynamic leadership skills, and a defense that I think can be really good. Now, they need Brian Burns healthy. They've got two really good corners. They're going to need to get another outside rusher, whether it's Gross Mattis or someone else. But they need that. But their speed on defense is very good.
Good value at plus 380 on the Carolina Panthers as well. Bettors also seeing value on Seattle in the NFC West rather than the odds-on favorite San Francisco 49ers. Fade or follow?
I still like the Niners. I know they don't have a quarterback. I do think Seattle's had a good offseason. Dermot Jones, the kid they got to play three technique, they're coming back. Bobby Wagner comes inside. They draft, they have a good draft. They get a legitimate corner in Weatherspoon. The receiver from USC and Dockway, Jackson Smith and Jigba. Yes, that's right. Jackson Smith. I mean, he's a very good slot receiver. Geno Smith, I think, can improve, you know, and with Kenneth Walker and Charbonnet at running back, the kid from UCLA, I like their team. I do. I think this is a two-team race. I really do. And I think the 49ers have to settle on that quarterbacking situation early because Seattle will improve as the year goes on. That's Pete Carroll's team. Mm-hmm. And look, let's face it, last year, you know, they're driving a score to tie the game in the fourth quarter, and they turn that third quarter, they turn it over.
Yeah, lots of high expectations for a 49ers team, despite not knowing the full health of their quarterback situation. Brock Purdy, though, he has been throwing, and John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan seem confident that he'll be ready to go come day one. We shall see. Wrapping things up on the Lombardi Line next. Keep it locked right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, remember, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can convert BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points. You can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located here on the Las Vegas Strip, as well as nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now, Michael, it's not every day that I let Twitter drive our conversation and throw rundown topics out the window, but a really interesting thing just came up on my timeline, and it made me think of a question for you. With all of these teams getting underway with mandatory minicamp, training camps are going to be here before we know it. But one of my former colleagues at the Carolina Panthers, Kevin Donnelly, he's a former guard in the NFL for a long time.
Yeah, sure.
John McClain tweeted about an instance with him and Lamar Lathan back in the day that they got into a fight at training camp that carried into the weight room, and they threw dumbbells at each other. But that coaches ended up loving it because nobody got hurt and there was fire and passion getting ready for the season. So curious, like, your opinion in general when it comes to these mini camps and training camps, like, at what point is the competitiveness and the fire great, but also balancing, let's not get too out of hand here. Throwing dumbbells at each other? Those were the days, I guess, Michael.
Yeah, this can work in two directions, right? You know, when I was in Cleveland in 95, we had two players get into an altercation that kind of splintered our team a little bit. And then when I was with the Patriots, we had two players get in an altercation that bonded our team. And so they can kind of go in two different directions. But I think at the end of the day, you know, players' competitiveness, you know, this is where Jimmy Butler excels. I mean, he's not for everybody because he's so overly competitive that he rubs some people the wrong way. And it becomes a little bit of a toxic way if you're not adaptable to him. So, you know, I think Kevin Donnelly and Lamar Lathan getting into it, you know, those teams down there, the Kevin Donnelly team, Lathan team, and if you go further back, I wrote about the Houston Oilers in my new book, Football Done Right, because they were so talented and yet they couldn't win a championship. They might be the most talented team ever assembled by the great Monsignor Mike Holovac out of Boston College and the New England Patriots. He was their general manager, but they just couldn't get their culture right. They couldn't get everybody working together. And obviously, these are the kind of indications of it. And part of camp is, I say this all the time, camp is not for bonding the team, because 50 players in the camp aren't going to make the team. So who are we bonding with? Camp is about understanding and defining roles. Mm-hmm. And those roles have to help us today, tomorrow, and 3 months from now. And you've got to be able to grow within your role. Once we get to camp, once we get the Giants will go out to play Arizona in week two. Then they go to San Francisco. That week, if they stay on the West Coast, that'll bond their team. Bonding occurs during a season when everybody's fighting together side by side. It doesn't occur when people aren't there.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we're always having a little bit of a dig at the Jets, though, putting their mini camp on the back burner and saying we don't need to do that. You got to have these opportunities still for everybody to define those roles even.
Right. I think to me it's, you know, I came from a program and come from a program about hard work. And I always say, what would, you know, not – you know, people say, well, what would Belichick do? I know what Bill would do. What would Bill Walsh do? I work for him too, you know, and Walsh believed in player development. You know, the first year we're going to teach the players the system. The second year we'll develop the skills within the system. And he would have not passed up an opportunity to develop the skills within the system. People mistake his kindness and soft-spokenness for someone that wasn't a demanding coach. And look, you know, football is a sport, leadership is a sport where you have to demand, you have to push people further than they expect to go. And if you're giving out rewards before the season even starts, are you really going to be demanding? And then when the game's tough in the fourth quarter, where's the resolve? I think it's a calculated mistake. This notion of rest, it sounds very analytical to me, or someone who's never put together a team before is telling him in his ear, I don't understand it. I don't see why. I know Aaron Rodgers needs to not be overworked. I know Dwayne Brown needs to be. But the Jets are a young team who've had 13 playoff appearances since 1968 when they won the Super Bowl. This is not a franchise that has been around winners. I mean, this is not that.
Yeah, you're trying to get to the playoffs for the first time since 2010. You would think he'd want to take advantage of every opportunity to figure some of these things out. And just to put a bow on that whole conversation, Kevin Donnelly did quote tweet that John McLean memory said, "Despite our frequent altercations, Lamar and I are good friends and do keep in touch. The NFL is a brotherhood." So there you go. Yes. Let's get to our
Kevin Donnelly. Interesting enough, Kevin Donnelly was a kid that started out at Appalachian State up in the mountains and transferred to North Carolina. That's when he became the third round pick of the Houston Oilers, because he transferred before transferring was very popular.
When Kevin and I used to work together, I mean, I don't know how much you've talked to him one-on-one, but he is a firecracker of energy, that man. And when we would do our shows for the Panthers post-game shows at the time, 1 minute to air, he would scream at the top of his lungs, 1 minute, just to make sure everybody was dialed in. So a leader on and off the field, Kevin Donnelly was. Let's get to our pro tip of the hour, though. We do these, of course, every show here at VSiN, and a lot of our conversation today centered around coordinators in the NFL and new places that they're going, which I think is a good reminder for win total bettors and those that are looking into make or miss the playoffs markets, that while, yes, handicapping NFL teams, head coach and quarterback are critical factors, you shouldn't discount the ability for an experienced coordinator to elevate a team. And we singled out specifically Vic Fangio with the Dolphins, Jim Schwartz with the Browns, and just how impactful a coordinator can be to kind of change up what you anticipate from a unit.
I mean, look, we look no further than New York Football Giants, what Don Martindale did with their defense, what Mike Kafka did with their offense, and Daniel Jones last year. Brian Daboll is the head coach. I mean, those two guys really made a huge difference on a team that Joe Judge was the head coach on, and Jason Garrett was initially the offensive coordinator, that they could never get it fixed. And so it does. And I think you got to take this one step further too, Stormy. I think when we start to handicap games on Sunday, we've really got to dig deeper into the coordinator battle. You know, Martindale versus Philadelphia. You know, when you watch the Gus Bradley defense versus, you know, the Josh McDaniels offense, those are critical. And you have a lot of history behind that. And so you can go through some numerical studies. You know, what team gives Vic Fangio trouble? What coordinator understands what Vic's doing to attack him? And then what coordinator doesn't understand what Vic's doing and he can't attack him? So those are really part of the handicap that you got to pay close attention to.
VSiN betting tips, pro tips available at VSiN.com, searchable by sport and by show. And, you know, I was kind of laughing to myself, Michael, as we were going through the list of coordinators earlier that are in their new homes. We never brought up Joystick, not once.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's an interesting hire. I mean, because they fired Lombardi because he couldn't run the ball. Remember, they're up by all those, you know, the first half, he comes out the second half against Jacksonville and tries to run it four plays in a row. They can't get a yard, and so that the next nine plays are passes, and so they got frustrated. Well, Kellen Moore's not a big, you know, he's not going to establish the run. Yes, you know, you could say, well, let's face it, he's got, you know, he ran the ball for them in Dallas. Not really. I mean, when you pushed it, he never got control of the game, which is why one of the reasons why Mike McCarthy wanted to take over the play calling. So I do think that's going to be a critical hire out in Los Angeles. Do they have enough physicality within their offensive line to run the football and get control of the game? Look, I'm a believer you must throw the ball to score points, but I'm also a believer of you have to control the game. How do you control the game? Andy Reid kind of does it with his short passing game to a degree, but he will run the ball, and he has a tough physical practices. You've got to be able to have that if you want to win. The best teams in the National Football League can throw the football when the opponent knows they have to throw it. They can run the ball when the opponent knows they have to run it. That's what marks a champion.
I feel like they're a team with all the talent in the world, and if they stay healthy, they just need to put it together. And I'm very curious if Kellen Moore can take a step in like his personal ability to be a coordinator and really be able to bring that all into one for the Los Angeles Chargers. That's a wrap for today, Michael.
There you go, Stormy. Get ready.
Yeah, I'm excited for tomorrow. We'll see if the Nuggets can wrap it up. We'll get JVT on the program, get his full breakdown. The Stanley Cup potential
winners in Thursday. The Vegas Golden Knights one
Tuesday
away?
Tuesday, too. I'll be with you on Tuesday to see. We'll handicap that one there.
This is going to be a fun week, although as you said off the top of the show, I'm a little bit nervous once we get through both of these finals. Major League Baseball on the Lombardi line. We'll see, what we can do. Yeah, Elliot in my ear. No chance, and he's not wrong. We got to step aside here. The Handle is coming up next. You won't want to miss it.